Let us pray. God of peace, in your rising from the dead, you accept our own doubts and fill us with your peace. Amen. Our gospel lesson conveys two strong messages, a message to comfort us, and a message that challenges us. The first message is told and retold throughout the whole scriptures. You are greatly loved and accepted as God's dear child. When we say God meets us where we are at, that includes our doubts and our struggles. The story of Thomas is our story as well. In his grief, Thomas withdrew from the others because he was not in the community. He missed Jesus' first appearance. Thomas, although he had experienced many miracles of Jesus in the 3 years he was with him, his grief kept him from believing the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection of Jesus. Unless I see, I will not believe. Thomas wasn't present at the crucifixion. He heard about Jesus' agony and death and how the soldiers had pierced Jesus' side to make sure he was dead. How could he believe that Jesus be alive with such a report as that? It's important to note the disciples who were together with Jesus when he appeared heard these words from Jesus, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And their response, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas, not with them, was bound by what only he could see. Given the gift of the Holy Spirit, they could tell Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." Millions have come to faith in the risen Lord, and that's proof that God's Spirit has been actively at work in his world. The Holy Spirit at work meeting us where we are and enabling us to profess, "My Lord and my God." Like Thomas, you and I can miss out when we cut ourselves off or limit ourselves in being together. If you haven't already read the article in your Living Lutheran by Pastor Frank Honeycutt, please do so. I encourage you to do so. It's entitled, "When the Scars Come Out," S-C-A-R-S. The article, he writes, "We live in a culture of isolation where we don't know our neighbor and we often don't know the people we share a pew with. We are called into a community of faith with Christ in our midst. The strength of our faith, the strength of the church, the strength of any congregation depends on how truly we get to know each other. We cannot do this," he writes, "if our worship attendance is irregular and if we don't participate in fellowship with one another." And he ends then, "Too often we pull away from truly getting to know one another." Thomas had two virtues. He refused to say that he understood when in fact he didn't understand. He refused to say he believed when he did not. He would not still his doubts by pretending they were not there. Another quality he had, when he did believe, he went all out, "My Lord and my God." History tells us that Thomas traveled farther with the good news than any of the other disciples and finally dying for his death in India. His message was simple. Jesus was dead and now is alive and has done all this because he loves you. That's the challenge of our text, that we make that same proclamation. To do so, we need to be growing in our faith. When we first said, "I believe," whether we were young or not so young, we began as babes in Christ. God loves us and accepts us as we are. Mm-hmm. But he also created us to be more and do more. Why would we be content to remain babes in the faith? We have the potential because we have been given the gift of God's Spirit. Why would we want to do less? Perhaps the best answer is, Satan is also alive in the world and works hard to keep us from growing. Satan fills our minds with lies that too often we accept as truths. There's the lie. God's word, the Bible, is just too difficult to understand, so why read it? Someone made this comment about the Bible. It is shallow enough for a baby to wade in, and deep enough to drown the most hardened heart. Fact is, throughout our lives, we discover new insights from living out our faith, and that comes from reading over and over and over the gospel, the Bible itself. We gain new insights, we have new different experiences, and every time we go back to the scriptures, something new comes to us. There is a lie. You don't need to worship. It takes away from you more important things. Truth. We need to worship for our spiritual well-being. We are a physical, mental, spiritual people. And if we neglect any of those three, we are not whole. I will never live long enough. I will never, ever live long enough to understand how anyone can be lazy about worship. Baffles me. I can't even speak to it because it's beyond me. But I think the person who's lazy about worship has a misunderstanding, and it's it. This is it. Worship is more about what God is doing for us than what we are doing for God. Each week we meet our risen Lord in the Word fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We come and we touch Christ in bread and wine and his outpouring of himself that you and I might profess my Lord and my God. There is that lie, I'm a good person. I don't need to do anything else just to be good and I'll get to heaven. Now, if you believe that lie, then God is a fool. God's a fool for experiencing a crucial death because we have no need to be saved. We have no need to be forgiven. We have no need to be changed. Our self-pronouncement of being good is nothing more than the sin of pride, and pride separates us from our God. There is that lie, if only I accomplish this, if only I can manage to get this, I'll be happy. And Jesus tells us, store up your treasure in heaven, and then you'll have eternal happiness. Possessions aren't bad, but they won't last forever, and they'll never satisfy us because there's always going to be something newer and better that we feel that we need. When our contentment and happiness is measured by things, they become our gods, and they begin to possess us. Point is, when we believe these lies, we stay babes in our faith, and we fail to recognize Christ's presence in our lives, and we fail our call to be his presence in other lives. Now, some might say, okay, Pastor, I know I'm a babe in Christ, and I'll be honest, if God loves and accepts me as I am, isn't that enough? And that yet is another lie. A lie that Satan wants us to grasp. When you and I fail to grow in our faith becomes childish. And it will be too weak for the storms of life. and we will be poor examples for those around us. Why grow? So others may join us in proclaiming, my Lord and my God. Christ is risen.